and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
Right now, I'd like for us to continue our study in personal evangelism. This would be study number two. The first study that we did was titled, I Can't, But God Can. But he can. And today I'd like for us to look at bind up the brokenhearted. Well, Isaiah chapter 61 and verse 1 says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. Well, there are certain things that you must keep in mind in personal evangelism. First thing that you need to keep in mind is there are things that you cannot do. You cannot save anyone. Well, who can save anyone? Psalm 68:20 says, he that is our God is the God of salvation. And unto God the Lord, belong the issues from death. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Romans 1:16 says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. You can't forgive sins. Who can? Romans 5:18 and 19 says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. That was Adam, of course. Even so, by the righteousness of one, that's Jesus Christ, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. You can't give life to a spiritually dead person. You can't open the eyes of the spiritually blind. Well, who can open the eyes of the spiritually blind? Jesus Christ. You can't give health to a sin-sick person. Who can heal the sin-sick person? Matthew chapter 9, verses 22 through verse 6 says, and behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then saith he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. Well, what can you do? You can point spiritually dead people to the great life giver. 1 John 5:11 says, and this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding that we may know him that is true, and we are in him that is true, even in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Jesus Christ is God. Well, you can be like an arrow that points people straight to the Savior. John 1:29 says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. We keep reading in the scriptures, in the Acts chapter 16, verses 30 and 31 says, and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Well, we need to remember who we are. You need to remember who you are. This is personal. You are blood bought. 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says, "For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" We've been bought with a price, those of us who have been saved, those of us who are on our way to heaven. And I'm speaking to you right now. You've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, and each of us have a responsibility of telling other individuals about Jesus Christ, because you are an ambassador for Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20 says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ." That's those of us who are saved. We're ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. An ambassador is a diplomatic official of the highest rank, sent by one country as its representative. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 17, "A wicked messenger falleth into mischief, but a faithful ambassador is health." We bring health to that lost and dying person who does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That person is dying without Jesus Christ. And we are an ambassador telling that individual, "You must believe and call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved, because he's the one who saved, who saved me, and he's able to save you." And many times we get afraid as saved people telling others about Jesus Christ, but we don't have to fear people. Matthew chapter 10, verse 28 says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." As a saved person, you do not have to fear God as one who would destroy your body and soul in hell. I believe rather the verse gives a warning, Matthew 10, 28. It gives a warning to those who do not know Christ as Savior. All those without Christ go to a devil's hell. I believe we are to fear for those who are on their way to hell. We do not have to fear the person who is on his or her way to hell, but rather realize that a greater fear is knowing the person without Christ will spend eternity in hell. The person who has not trusted Christ needs to reverentially fear God, realizing they are on their way to hell. Reverential fear comes from the Word of God given out by those of us who are on our way to heaven. Well, notice that you have power. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." In other words, it enters you. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Well, you may be thinking, "I didn't receive this power after I got saved. I didn't feel anything different." Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you are not saved. The fact of the matter is, we receive the Holy Spirit the moment that we have trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Notice Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. It says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. That's the Holy Spirit. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, it says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." You're saved forever. You have eternal life. No one can take that from you, because you have the seal of the Holy Spirit once you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit is not a feeling. It is a fact. Acts chapter 4 and verses 31 through 33 says, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. That's a fact. When you get saved, you have the Holy Spirit living within you. No one can take that from you. You're saved forever. And we need to tell other people that Jesus saves. We are to present the gospel with power. Saved people have the Holy Spirit. It is with the power of the Holy Spirit that gospel is to be presented. When we depend on the Holy Spirit for guidance in presenting the gospel, we will give witness, and that's testimony of the resurrection of Christ, with great power. We are not the great power. The great power is the Holy Spirit of God. Now notice something. Your salvation. Are you saved? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10 goes on to say, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." We who are saved have been created in Christ Jesus unto, or to do, good works. Good works includes telling or showing others how to go to heaven. Well, let me ask you this. Do you doubt your salvation? Matthew chapter 13, verse 58, it says, "And he did not many mighty works there because of their unbelief." How can Christ do mighty works through you, and that's through your witnessing, if you doubt your salvation? You're saved forever. If you doubt your salvation, how could you effectively tell someone else how to be saved? Romans chapter 14 and verse 23 says, "And he that doubteth is damned if he eat, because he eateth not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin." Now the word damned in Romans 14, 23 that I just read does not mean you will lose your salvation, but rather your witness for our Lord will be many times ineffective in witnessing, ineffective to the hearer, or effectively keeping you from witnessing. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, get it settled once and for all that He has saved you forever. John chapter 10 and verse 28, Jesus said, "And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Eternal means never ending. Hebrews 6, 1, "Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on into perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God." Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 1 is saying, quit thinking about your salvation and get busy helping others. Leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ means we leave the basics, the beginning of when we got saved, and move on into a maturing child of God. Quit concentrating on yourself and move on, telling others about the principles, the basics of Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection. Quit spinning your wheels, staying in the same spot, thinking only of yourself. Move on! Doubt produces guilt. If you have trusted Christ as your Savior, you have no reason to feel guilty or to be ashamed. We are to present the gospel. You are to present the gospel. Don't candy coat the gospel. Present the gospel, not yourself. Let people know that it's all about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ saves. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." We need to get busy as the people of God and tell other people that Jesus saves. Get busy for the Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.